I'm David Ford, and this is Triad Arts Weekend. Winston-Salem-based singer-songwriter Kike Rodriguez-Pastor grew up in Peru and the U.S., and his passion for music encompasses everything from Dominican singer-songwriter Juan Luis Guerra to pop sensation Michael Jackson. Along the way, Kike has developed an extensive archive of recorded music in collaboration with other musicians, like the Tyler Nail Trio, and as a solo artist. His new album is titled Love Like, and we're sampling from it right now. Most proud of with this effort? I mean, I was just listening to it all morning. I really fell in love with it. Great recording.
Oh, thanks. What am I most proud of? I was going for an organic feel. Past albums that I've done have, I produced this album and I've produced past albums, and it's a learning process. And previous albums have sounded more produced than I wanted them to. And as far as the production quality of this album, it turned out being a lot more organic, which is exactly what I was going for.
Nice.
And so that's something I'm proud of and very pleased with. That and also when I set out to make this album, something I was intentional about was trying to hone in on this sort of joyful playfulness, to the music, despite of what I might be singing about. And I feel that that's also something I was able to accomplish. Not that all my music is like that. I write songs outside of this album that are not necessarily a beat or anything, but this album I wanted to be intentional about that, and I feel that I accomplished that, so I'm happy with that.
Yeah. Well, I certainly got it. Listening to this, obviously you've had a passion for music that goes way back. I guess we'll start there. Where did that passion come from?
Well, I come from a very musical family. Not necessarily my immediate family, but my extended family. There's plenty of musicians of all kinds, and so I feel like it's just sort of in the blood, But as far as influences and things that introduced music to my ears growing up, Michael Jackson was actually the very first thing I can remember. When I was six, I owned the album Bad, and that and Thriller. Those two albums were the introduction that I had to music.
Well, and you mentioned early on that you record and produce these albums. For the non-musician, though, non-producer, what all does that encompass?
It's really just a very limited set of recording equipment that I have at home. It's something that I've been doing since I got in college. I didn't study this in school or anything. It was around that time that I picked up recording software. It's just a computer with recording software, a microphone, and then just my beat-up instruments that I have around the house. And that's really the same setup that I have today. It's just very limited recording equipment, and I just try to work with what I have and develop my craft, my craftsmanship when it comes to editing and mixing and that kind of thing.
For example, did you play all the instruments? Did you do all the cutting and mixing and editing?
So yeah, I did all the recording. I performed a good chunk of all the music, but I definitely was assisted by a number of friends, actually seven individuals. It was a percussionist named Danielo Secu Diaz, who plays a bunch of percussion in the album. My friend Susie McCauley, who sings in the album and plays the violin. Casey Horton, who plays the viola. My friend Jonathan Webb, who plays the trumpet, my brother, who whistled in the album, and then a children's choir from a church called El Buen Pastor here in town, and they came in and sang a little bit for one of the songs, and then it was actually mastered by another friend of mine, Michael Zioli, at the Zoo Station Studios.
You mentioned that you've been doing this for a while and basically the same software or sorts of procedures, but how has that craft evolved since you first started doing this back in the college years? What have you learned between album one and that it comes to Love Like?
Some of the things that stand out right off the bat are letting go of perfectionism. Being a perfectionist, it's so easy to just want to redo things over and over and over again.
How do you do that? How do you let go?
I can't say that I've accomplished letting go completely, but I feel, so I guess the best example I can think of is I used to do visual arts a lot when I was younger, and one thing that I would do with, I love to draw faces, and I was a perfectionist about that. I really like to make it look as real as possible. Well, one day I decided to do a very common exercise called the blind contours, which is when you look at a mirror and you look at your face, but you never look at the sheet of paper, and you try to draw what you're seeing without checking on the sheet of paper if what you're drawing, you know, is perfect or close to perfection. And I looked at the sheet of paper and I realized that looks so beautiful. It's so organic and imperfect, but beautiful, you know? And that helped me. That single exercise in visual arts helped me, and I was able to transfer that to recording, and that helped me sort of let go and just trust that the imperfections are beautiful.
Translate the visual into the audio realm and what letting go can give you sonically, and maybe an example from Love Like, if you would.
The things that are happening in the room, the things that are typically excluded from the what you can hear in a recording, I like to include those because I feel that in a way that bridges the gap between the listener and the performer in a way. I feel like it makes it a little bit more personal, and it makes, I don't know, the artist seem not quite so far away and distant from, or from some other world, which, and at least in my experience, when I hear a really well-produced album, it feels that way. It feels almost like Hollywood or something, and that's not a bad thing. It's just what it feels like. But I wanted to sort of make it feel like it's somebody from your living room or something that you're just sort of overhearing from the other room, you know, but still with a professional sound.
So, yeah, I thought it was interesting. You're sharing what some people have garnered from your music, described as having an international sound that reminds them of the beach.
That description, an international sound that, you know, that's sort of reminiscent of the beach, is very specific to this album. It's something that, like I said, I was trying to be intentional about. When I write music in general, I like to be eclectic. But in this, when it came time to record this album, I really wanted to hone in on a style, and a particular style that happened to be resonating in me at the time. And it was one that had, you know, this sort of tropical feel to it with the bongos. And actually, you've described my music in the past as having this sort of ska reference in a way. And that's also present in the album. And the playfulness that I described earlier, I don't know, people keep telling me. I imagine myself being on the beach when I listen to this. So, yeah. It's
which is a great place to be.
Yeah.
Title cut, track 3. Yeah, I love the repeating guitar pattern sound, the engine in this tune. Nice production elements in this tune. Tell me about recording process for a tune like this. Could you walk me through the process a little
bit? Okay, so the recording, I pretty much laid the guitar down for every song in the album so that I could just keep the mic where it was and have a consistent, you know, tone of the guitar throughout the entire album. And that's, you know, so I started with the guitar in that song, and I pretty much did everything that I could do I laid down the guitar, laid down the bass, and then I invited my friend Oseku to come and do the percussion to give the rhythmic quality to it. And then I had my friend Susie. She came by and...
Is this Susie McCauley of The Breathing Room?
Correct.
Oh, how about that?
Okay. Yeah. Her voice is... I mean, everyone who's been hearing these songs, they're just saying the same thing. They're saying Susie's voice just lifts the album to a whole new level. It's just so complimentary to what I'm doing, and it's just beautiful in and of itself.
It's a great pairing with your voice, too. It creates a really nice instrument.
Yeah, I agree. It's a nice contrast, and when we sing together at the same time in the album, there's a nice ring to it.
Yeah.
So the recording process, it all happened. It didn't happen in the studio. It happened in a room. There was no acoustic treatment. It was just, like I said, it's a very sort of humble home studio. And it happened quickly. You know, people are busy, and I just asked people to come in, and they were generous with their time, and they just knocked it out rather quickly.
And then Candle of Yearning, this kind of speaks to the uplifting nature of what we're talking about. Dad, I just want to say I thank you for being a father. Mom, I hope you know I love you. You're such a sweet mother. God, I want to grow and I pray. Teach me to hear you. Shine on this world in this soul. Mm-hmm. Really powerful sentiments. Is spirituality a big part of your life?
Certainly. It's central. You know, every single day I try to nurture my spirituality.
Dad, just want to say I thank you for being a father. Mom, I hope you know I love you. You're such a sweet mother. God, I want to grow and I pray. Teach me to hear you. Shine on this world in this soul.
I love the sincerity of those lines so much. It just rings for me. And there's definitely a yearning or longing quality in this particular tune. What is that in that sense? Could you break it down for me?
The yearning is actually the theme of the album. It's a theme that is present, and it's one I wasn't intentional about. It's actually something that I realized in retrospect. You know, when I was done with the album and I began to listen to it and I tried to think about the thing that ties it together, as far as lyrically, I feel that there's a sort of expression of yearning that takes place throughout the album, whether it's yearning to find a sense of home or yearning to grow as a person, to grow in my spirituality or to go and explore, travel, meet a companion of something, what have you. It's yearning is pretty much present throughout the entire album, and that's kind of how I've been promoting it. I've been on my website and my blog, I've been saying, describing this album as a playful expression of human yearning. While yearning can be associated with frustration and sort of a darker sentiment, I guess I wanted to express whatever I want to express, whether it's light or dark, but I wanted to express that underneath the umbrella of a sort of playful and joyful attitude,
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what's happening throughout the album and definitely in that song.
You bring the best of the 60s to your music sometimes. I mean, you didn't live through the 60s at all, but I'm talking about just great vocal choruses and full harmonies. And is there a specific feeling you associate with those sorts of sounds?
Absolutely. The Beach Boys, huge influence. I love the Beach Boys. I love their album Sunflower. That's definitely a direct influence with what I do for a number of years now. I love harmonies and I love that 60s pop. I love it.
How does your multi-instrumental background help you as you form a new piece and develop it like And I Was You? Is there a downside to that sort of familiarity with so many different aspects of the performance?
You know, playing on multiple instruments, and I don't play that many. A lot of them are related. You know, I play the bass guitar and I play the guitar and I sing and then I do some percussion here or there. That is enough for me to be able to bring my vision to life, and that's a great, and I'm very grateful that I can do that, because I have very specific ideas, and I don't have to depend on anyone else to be able to bring my ideas close to how I envision them, because I'm able to do, you know, all the things that are involved. But obviously, I am limited. I can't play the viola, I can't play the trumpet, and I don't play the bongos like a real bongo player plays them.
Anywhere Will Do is the next track, and the trumpet intro and solo in this sound so appropriate. At what point in the composition did you envision that instrument taking place there?
Because I was doing everything by myself before this project. The colors were too similar in my previous albums, you know, just vocals, guitars, and some percussion. I wanted more colors, and so that line in that song that you hear being played by the trumpet was originally a part that was sung. But I wanted to have more colors.
Once you add voices, and in this case instruments, do you make structural changes based on what you're hearing, or your songs typically fully formed after composition?
There's no formula to it. It varies. Sometimes I get exactly what I'm going for right off the bat, you know, and then a lot of things I switch completely in post-production, you know. And I don't limit myself. I'm not really a purist about how to go about it. I just, if a song is not what I, if it just doesn't feel right to me as it stands, I will go back and just cut things and just put them and place them in where I want them to be and restructure the song. And so in a way, it doesn't really represent a performance, but rather it's just a composition in the studio. I'm not trying to replicate a performance, but rather get a compositional idea to life to the best of my liking.
Toca mi piel. Touch my skin. And you're talking about the light of the sun in this case.
Correct.
You're bilingual, or at least bilingual, Spanish and English. Why did you choose to sing the majority of this album in English?
There was no real intentionality about that. The majority of the songs that I sang, the natural expression was just came out of me in English, you know. And then this particular song that's in Spanish, the only Spanish song in the album, same thing happened. It just felt more natural for it to be expressed in Spanish, and that's really all there is to it. There wasn't much of an agenda or anything like that.
Luz del sol, acaríciame, 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 luz del sol, toca mi piel, hazme sentir bien, hazme sentir bien, hazme sentir bien.
Tell me about Toca Mi Piel. It's a very simple song.
It is a very simple song. It's really just as simple as just enjoying the warmth of the sun. I mean, I grew up by the beach. I grew up in Peru and Florida, so I feel most at home in a warm climate. And now that I live in North Carolina and I've been here for the past 10 years, whenever it's, you know, we're getting towards the end of the winter, I'm ready for the spring, and I'm just anticipating being outside and just enjoying the sunlight and the warmth that I feel on my skin. And so I wrote that song right around that time of the year.
Black Water. Great vocal harmonies at the start here, and it reminds me a little bit of that Yes, so is it 90125 vocals release back in the 80s, and the clarity of these great vocals, they stand on their own. Billy stared at the water, but he saw nothing but her. She said, Billy, don't bother. We've all been there before.
Yeah, exactly. It's about, you know, I was at a time in my life when I wanted to restore a relationship, and the person that I was wanting to restore the relationship with just, you know, wasn't interested. And so, and it's, the vocals are, I think, are pretty self-explanatory, but yeah, that's all that was.
Billy stared at the water. Nothing, just her. But she said, Billy, don't bother. Thank you.
I love these lines here. What are dreams? Someone tell me what they mean. Could be nothing. Could be everything. And then you go on to say, to sing, could be someone's trying to reach me. And you say, keep on dreaming. And I love the play on words there, because, I mean, keep on dreaming could mean that dismissive, yeah, right, keep on dreaming, buddy. But it could also be looking at, the glass is half full.
Exactly. And that actually was intended to be sort of double meaning. Yeah, that whole song is just, it plays around the idea of dreaming in the literal sense, when we dream and in the experience of having dreams while you're sleeping. And sometimes they can be so powerful and mysterious, and we're just left to wonder, you know, what's that all about? And I know there's, you know, psychological studies that point us in one direction, and, you know, but I can't help but wonder if there's maybe something beyond that, and that song sort of explores that. And it also sort of explores dreaming in the sense of, you know, goals and those kinds of dreams, you know. And I like to dream. I like to think about the things that I hope to achieve in my life and hope to experience. And dreaming in and of itself, it's almost like the goals don't even matter. It's like the act of dreaming is something that I enjoy doing, you know.
What are dreams? Someone tell me what they mean. Could be nothing, could be everything. 'Cause when they're here, they play around, then they're gone. They are not here for no reason. I wonder, maybe someone is trying to reach. Someone is trying to reach me.
Salem-based singer-songwriter Kike Rodriguez Pastor. His new album is titled Love Like. The Sunny CD will be available for online purchase beginning, appropriately enough, on summer solstice, June 21st. Half of the proceeds from the CD will go to El Buen Pastor Latino Community Services in the Triad, and you'll find links to more information about both at WFDD.org and click on Triad Arts Weekend. Kike also produces what he calls bite-sized videos, covering a wide variety of subjects, from pleasant walks through his Winston-Salem neighborhood to views out of his airplane window on a return trip from Peru. The video images are accompanied by Kike's original music and his own illustrations. They're really cool, and you can view them all on our website as well. Again, that's WFDD.org, and click on Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford. This is Triad Arts Weekend, and we'll take a short break now. When we return, break out your fairy wings and magic wands, because it's time to celebrate the longest day of the year in style. Music, butterflies, fire dancing, loads of live music, and so much more at Greensboro Summer Solstice 2014. It's a 10th anniversary celebration you do not want to miss next, when Triad Arts Weekend continues.